The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Sarah Spain, Bomani Jones, Frank Isola. We start outside the wobble where Elena Deladon is taking time to think it over. Yesterday, she said she was in disbelief. WNBA doctors denying her medical opt-out. She'll have to report to Washington or lose her salary for the year. This has been a case many eyes have been on. Deladon's personal doctor, who's treated her for Lyme disease through the years, has given the opinion she should not be playing under these conditions. Sarah Spain, we have to start with you. You wrote it up with John Barr for ESPN.com. What position is the MVP of the WNBA in right now? What position is the WNBA in right now?
She's in a tough one. They're the defending champs, and she wants to play. She said she wants to play, but she's very conflicted. And the thing that makes this more complicated is that chronic Lyme disease is a relatively newly understood disease. In fact, when John Barr talked to a representative from Johns Hopkins Lyme Disease Center, they basically said there's so few experts that it's not a surprise that a panel of doctors might not deem this, or that the CDC might not have specific information about how COVID-19 can be perhaps even more likely to be gotten or have negative effects as a result of Lyme disease. So she's in this position where her personal doctor is saying you probably shouldn't go, but this panel is not clearing her for that medical exemption. She doesn't want to leave her team in the lurch, but her safety is very much a concern. As of last speaking to her, she would like to play. She's still considering meeting her team in the wobble, but she's talking it over with her wife and others.
But again, to drill down on this, what position is the league in that they're telling their league MVP, you know what, we have a different opinion of your health than your doctor and you do?
Well, and the question there is, do you believe that there's a bias on behalf of a personal doctor who's treated her for some years? Do you believe that there's potentially a bias on behalf of the panel that's being paid and employed by the WNBA and the NBA to make these decisions? How much is this a business decision by the league, hoping that their WNBA MVP star is out there? You don't want to presume that they're operating in bad faith, but all those questions do have to be asked.
Frank Isola, do you have a read on this?
I think you're looking at it the wrong way, Tony. I think it now proves that the WNBA is more mainstream than ever because they're screwing this up just like every other league would in a situation. You know, I can go out and get a note from a doctor to say I can't appear in gym class, but I'm not going to be cynical when it comes to Elena Deladon, because in the WNBA Finals last year, she was wearing a mask for a broken nose, a brace for her knee, and she had three herniated discs, so she wants to play, and I can't believe that the league is putting her in this position. Remember, Ted Leonsis owns both the Mystics and the Wizards. John Wall came out a month ago and said, I'm 110%, but I'm going to play next year. Bradley Beal, his agent recently came out and said, well, if they were competing for something, he would play. They should do right by Elena Deladon right here. Everything that she's accomplished and what she's done for the league, if she doesn't feel safe, she shouldn't have to play.
And then her salary should be guaranteed, is I guess what you're saying, to connect the dot there. Because that's the case right now. If she doesn't play, she doesn't get paid. But Monty Jones, let's bring you in here.
Well, no, that's the play the WNBA should have made. They should have made the play that, hey, if you don't feel comfortable, we're going to pay you and you do not have to play. It seems like they tried to make it simple by coming up with a list of ailments. I don't hope I'm using the right word here, but a list of things that you could say, okay, I have this. All right, you don't have to play. It happens that what Deladon has is not on their list. So since she's not on their list, they have to say, if they're going to maintain some sort of order in this, that no, you have to play if this is the system that they're going to use. And on her end, if she doesn't feel comfortable playing, then don't come in and play. It's pretty that much that simple. Mm-hmm. I would like for her to be able to get her salary under these circumstances, but if they can't, you got to make that decision for your health. But I also understand that in sports, you have to wonder what's going on with the league and what their interests are in trying to get the player back on the court. Now, I do think, I have a hard time believing, given how high the stakes are, that any doctor would be willing to put their name on something that would put a player in a disadvantageous position right now. Because if Deladon were to have come back because they didn't have her situation on that list, and then she comes back and then gets sick, Oh boy, everybody's going down. And I don't think
I hear you say that, Bomani Jones, and that may be true, but there's a whole lot of we don't know here, and that's exactly what we're talking about in a pandemic. Doctors are saying, yes, players can play, they can entertain us, but we don't know anything about this virus going forward for the next 30 years, and which is why I appreciate you so much saying that, Sarah. You guys know me. I've dealt with Lyme disease in my life. This is going back decades now. It manifested itself as Bell's palsy. Part of my face got paralyzed for a short time, but I've had episodes in my life. I had an amnesiac episode recently. They look at my brain, and what do they see in my brain? They still see the Lyme disease from years ago. And it almost mirrors what we're dealing with coronavirus. There is so many things we don't know. There are known unknowns, and there are unknown unknowns. And it boggles my mind that the WNBA is treating a league MVP and an ambassador to the game like EDD. Like this. We'll move on. Our next topic of discussion. We have to talk about the elephant in the room. Who said this? Cam Newton. Oh, man, this is great. You know who you're coming after? I'm like, yeah, I know who I'm coming after is what he told a bunch of friends and athletes, Odell Beckham's podcast. What he said, though, that is drawing attention is Coach McDaniels, you're going to be able to call some stuff that you ain't ever been able to call now. End quote. All right, Bomani Jones. Give it to us on Cam Newton talking about following Tom Brady and what the Patriots and McDaniels could do now.
I mean, I appreciate the fact that he's not denying or avoiding what everybody else is talking about, right? This is a pretty seismic change going from Tom Brady to Cam Newton just on everything that you can see, right? It is a world of difference. But I found it interesting when he said that about McDaniels because one thing we can't forget about him is that dude drafted Tim Tebow in 2010. And I'm just saying, if he felt like he had a plan to figure out how to make it work with Tim Tebow, he must be amazed by the thought of what it is that he can do with Cam Newton. Like, clearly he's got some things in mind that he could not do with Tom Brady that now it looks like there's a chance that he can do with Cam Newton if Cam is even a little bit healthy. So if you think that Josh McDaniels is a genius, as a lot of people do as a play caller, then you should be fascinated by the idea of him having quite possibly the most physically talented quarterback that we have ever seen.
On the scale of insult or no insult, is there any part of it that's slightly shade, Bomani?
No, maybe if a play involves running, what was Tom Brady going to do on that?
Okay. Frank Gaisola?
Exactly. It's like you talk about stating the obvious, the elephant in the room. Oh, really? A big storyline is the fact that Tom Brady left and Cam Newton is now on the team. No one has thought of that. But Cam is right. Josh McDaniel now has somebody who is dangerous, who could do a lot of different things that Tom Brady couldn't do. Remember when Tom Brady tried to catch that pass against the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl? We know how that worked out. The big thing isn't Cam's talent and Josh McDaniel. The big thing is Cam Newton staying healthy. He only played two games last season. If he could stay healthy, he certainly has the talent with that team to be pretty dangerous.
And Sarah Spain, is this something or nothing?
Well, Frank, the elephant in the room isn't Tom Brady himself. The elephant in the room is that Tom Brady runs like an elephant. And that's all we're talking about here.
Be nice
Cam
to
Cam is a cheetah when he's healthy. Now, Tom Brady is the greatest of all time, and I think Cam couched what he said with all the proper things so that there's no insult there at all. But anyone with eyes can see that Tom Brady is not as fast as Cam Newton, especially when Cam Newton's healthy. So, yes, this totally opens up a different side of the playbook for McDaniels. And to Bomani's point, we should all be fascinated to see how it works out, even if somewhere either deep inside or we'll say it right out loud, we don't want the Patriots to just start winning all over again with a new quarterback. But it'll be fun to watch either way.
All right, one more story to get your read on, guys, and it's from the NBA. It's in the bubble right now, but it's Brett Brown talking to reporters, Ben Simmons talking to reporters about Simmons playing the four. Brown yesterday said when Ben came in, they didn't have an established point guard, so he was like, you take the ball. You're young. Let's get to be the point guard. But now he's moving him to the four because he's so dynamic, and this is what Brown said. Quote, let's just talk about running. There's nobody faster in the NBA than Simmons. So to always have the ball and dribble it up against five guys that dilutes his potent weapons. He also said Embiid and Simmons have been fantastic together at the four and five. Frank Isola, do you believe this? Where are you on Simmons on the four?
I think it's the right thing to do. Ben Simmons has played 214 career NBA regular season games. He has 2 3-pointers. Shake Milton will now be the point guard. He's a better 3-point shooter. It spreads the court. Also remember, Brett Brown knows that his job is in jeopardy. Brett Brown, I'm not saying Brett Brown went into this not wanting to win, but I think he's trying to do what he believes is best for the team, and that's Ben Simmons at power forward and Al Horford on the bench.
All right. Sarah Spain, are you with Frank? Sarah Spain, sorry, I pluralized your name there because you have so many points, you're more than one person. Are you all right with Simmons at the four?
Yeah, I mean, I think to Frank's point, Brett Brown's trying to figure out what's going to work with this collection of people. Maybe Horford is helpful off the bench, especially in this return to season when guys might be dragging. Good to have someone strong coming off the bench. I think Simmons, you know, his average shot is just under 5 feet. The only player in the NBA with an average shot that's shorter is Rudy Gobert. This is a guy who likes working around the basket. And to Brett Brown's point, he's so fast that if you have him bring up the ball on every play and he's sagging instead of being able to push the break, then it just feels like you're wasting a skill set. If he's not going to use the other skill set of attempting to shoot outside of 5 feet, then you might as well take advantage of what he is bringing you, especially because it hasn't looked great with him running the point with Embiid so far.
You said it because Brown said it. He's so fast. Is he the fastest guy in the NBA? I wasn't prepared for that Ben Simmons is the fastest guy in the NBA. But Bonnie, let me ask it to you this way. Simmons at the four. We know he can't shoot. Okay. Do positions even matter in the NBA in 2020?
I do think they still matter. I still think that there's a division of things that have to be done on a basketball court, and they wound up being done by position just in the name of efficiency. But I think there are a couple things we need to keep in mind about Ben Simmons. First of all, the problem is not that he cannot shoot. It is his bizarre refusal to shoot. 95% of his shots this season came from within 10 feet, and I don't even know if 10 feet is the right way to put it because the breakdown I saw broke down the rim, and then 3 to 10 feet. I don't even know if he's willing to shoot from 10 feet. And if he's not willing to shoot, it doesn't matter to me if he brings the ball up the floor or not. Part of why it did not work with Embiid and Horford together was Horford didn't really have room to stretch. He could not really stretch the floor and things get packed down on Embiid. I'm having trouble seeing how it is that you're not going to have something like that happen with Simmons. I'm also generally not a believer that the best way to handle one of your best players is to give him the ball less. All he has to do is try to shoot. You don't even have to make them all. Can
not
you find one time in your
that.
Life
I'm
a
not
player this good who refuses to
matter.
Shoot?
Not convinced positions matter in the NBA. Who's the best point guard on the Lakers? Well, he's also the best 2 and 3 and 4 on the Lakers as well. So, I mean, you can get by.
Okay.
You can get by. All right. We've been horned. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, positions might not matter, but he has to try to shoot, even if he's a 4. We don't have power forwards who don't shoot outside of 10 feet. He'll be the only one who does that.
Not his game yet.
Taking a break right here. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, are they entangled or unentangled right now? We'll get to that. Franchise tag's coming up in 24 hours. And then also, Trevor Lawrence, Ja'Marr Chase, other college stars. What are they thinking right now?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Spain, what are you buying? What are you selling?
Well, I'm going to start by selling maybe Dak's future with the Cowboys after a year plus of being able to work on this deal. I don't see how this deadline is going to get something done in the next 24 hours. And I think that tells us what we need to know about Jerry Jones and the higher-ups and their view of him. Derrick Henry, I think, is just in the worst spot possible. Had a spectacular year. Good couple years, but the belief that he might drop off plus this pandemic situation and the effect on the cap and money going forward might just have him in a tough position.
Bomani Jones?
Yeah, I don't feel the same way about the future for Dak Prescott. Just because this has been so contentious for so long and Dak has been so adamant about what he wants, he may be the one guy who isn't doing what these other guys seem to be doing, which is, in times of chaos, grab every guaranteed dollar you can get your hands on at this very moment. So I'm not surprised to see the other guys, but I can't wait when this is all said and done. We can figure out what in the world's going on with Dak Prescott, because I can't believe that Jerry is really dumb enough to think they're going to get a better quarterback just out of nowhere.
Frank Isola.
I wonder if it's a little bit of what have you done for me lately. Remember that kind of play-in game that they had against the Eagles last year where he didn't play well. He's 1-2 in the playoffs. And remember, next year he could still get $37 million. I feel badly for Derrick Henry. All these running backs, I mean, look at the numbers he put up in the playoffs. I understand why teams don't pay running backs because the shelf life of what it is. But, man, Derrick Henry is so good. It's too bad he's not going to get a long-term deal.
Texas football, our next topic of discussion. Bomani Jones, your interest is peaked here. This is the program you grew up with. Players wanted changes at the school, and here's what Texas has agreed to. The Eyes of Texas, the song, will still be sung before every game, but the minstrel show and blackface origins will be taught. A statue for Julius Whittier, first back player to letter at the school, will be at Darrell Royal. And the field at Darrell Royal will now be renamed to honor Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams. Bomani, you see that as significant?
I think that these are noteworthy things. I don't know how ultimately significant they're going to prove to be, but I think everybody needs to pay attention and notice that it took football players and other students all this organizing just to get these things, right? Like, that's what the experience is for them at this university. They have to go through all of this to say things like, hey, we prefer not to go into buildings named after segregationists, for example. And by the way, the school pushed back on a few of these things also. This was still a matter of compromise, which still, for me, raises questions about the attitudes that these institutions have, as though they are giving in by acknowledging the dignity of their students.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that. The school is pushing back in some ways. And which way do you think was for you, very telling? Was it the song?
Yeah, I don't know why people are so attached to these damn songs. Like, it just blows my mind. If y'all come up with another song, you're going to love the next song because of the school that it's associated with. Like, it's the tune of I've Been Working on the Railroads. Y'all don't love that song that much. You love it because it's yours. So find another song and make that one yours.
Frank Isola?
I thought the story by Ivan Mizell on ESPN.com was pretty interesting. Joe Jamal, his family, they were the ones that went to the school and said, you know what? Change the name of the field. This is a guy that donates a lot of money, or the family donates a lot of money to the school, and he has a relationship with Earl Campbell. He wanted it to be named after Earl Campbell. The family did, named after Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams. I think that's pretty nice.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit uncomfortable to Bomani's point that we're digging in our heels on a song. It has lyrics that, you know, even if you go back to the origins of them, read a little weird, especially for a school that's still known as the 40 Acres. But I am not going to overlook the good things that they did do, because there are plenty of schools that are not listening to current students and former students, former alumni, athletes, the way that they are. So these steps are necessary. Obviously, more the education, the understanding, integrating some ideas about their history into their curriculum would be huge for all of their students. So good steps. We'll see about that song.
For the 40 acres for this school specifically, Bomani, correct me if I'm wrong, that was about the size of that plot of land, right? It wasn't about 40 acres and a mule, or was it?
No. It's about the size of that plot of land. Like, that right there. It is an unfortunate coinkydink, though, for them that they wind up being the school they have been for all these decades and also call themselves the 40 acres.
And one last thing. What you just said as we sat down here, speaking about Texas's record in the last 40 years opposed to what it was previously.
No, this football program had to fight for a long time to get the stench of racism off of it, and it affected their ability to recruit. And their success to the point, when you stop and think about it, I want to say since integration, they've won the conference outright something like 7 times. The University of Texas has only done it that much in that period of time. Mack Brown was the first head football coach at Texas ever who was not recruiting against history. And then we had the Charlie Strong era, and that made us all feel terribly uncomfortable.
We'll move on. One more college football story. Trevor Lawrence, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Fields. What are they thinking right now? It's a topic of discussion. I saw Dan Wolk in USA Today. All right, that he's heard college officials quietly talked about maybe approaching the NFL to see if they would maybe move back the draft. The thought there is, unsurprisingly, not interested from the NFL. That would be if there would be spring college football in The Athletic. Ben Standing talking to agents. Many seem to think top prospects would bail if the season was pushed to the spring, Frank, by yourself?
Tony, let's face it. The DNA of all these guys is to go out there and play, but I think the smart thing to do. Remember, Leonard Fournette, after his second season, we were saying, you know what? Don't play your third year. Just wait, hold out and wait for the NFL to roll around. I think the same thing for Trevor Lawrence. He's only going to hurt himself if he plays that late in the year.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, the only thing that would be good about this would be that time between when they stop playing and the draft, when everybody decides that all of the not playing in the middle there is more important to how they'll be drafted. I'm ready to get done with that. But I do think people like Trevor Lawrence and others are going to realize that this could be a very messy season, and the likelihood of looking worse than they did last year is much higher than looking better.
Bomani Jones.
If you know you're going to go high in that draft, there is no good reason for you to show back up on campus. Think about how it went with Nick Bosa when he had that injury his last year at Ohio State, missed a couple games, and was like, nope, not coming back. Why? Because why? He was the number two pick in the draft after it happened. The taking that risk under these circumstances, there's no reason for a guy like Lawrence in particular to do it. If he wants to play for Clemson that bad, knock yourself out. But that's not what I would tell him to do.
Well, and Bomani, you get that agent money right away, and everybody needs more money right now.
Yeah, some people really need money.
Well, we pay by the point here, so I think you all should take that. Well, good scoring, guys. I mean to say that because Frank Isola is going pro right now. He won't be with us for Showdown. Bomani Jones, Sarah Spain, Showdown, 2 minutes, with the player who broke the bubble.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Stephen placed it to the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus. Shams Charania reports, and here we go. That, combined with Rashawn Holmes, was the first to cross the line when he picked up his takeout food. 10 days of quarantine was his penalty, but also he heard it from Ma, Dr. Ladisha Holmes. Quote, you only cross the line for your mama's cooking. Love you, baby. Sarah Spade, what should the penalty be?
Well, I think our judgment should be wholly based on what he went to get. I mean, did he make a run for the border and get some T-Bell, or was he going to find like a Mastro's butter cake? Because I think the difference matters, and we should either be very empathetic or we should be very angry.
I'm sorry, I didn't know Taco Bell. We were calling it the T-Bell. That's something completely new to me. Hey, man, I mean, it sounds like his punishment is a lot more than quarantine. Hey, man, that don't sound like fun.
Yeah, well, the punishment was mom. I think mom got you good there, Rashawn. Point Bomani Jones, FaceTime to Mr. Bomani Jones.
Ah, Godzilla, baby. Check this out. Your boy Odell Beckham says that he's going back to the blonde. That's right. Odell Beckham wants to go back to the blonde hair because he says he's tired of being humble, tired of caring what y'all were thinking. And I want to send my apologies out here to all these parents in the street because you have finally corralled your children and stopped them from looking ridiculous with all this funny colored hair. I noticed it in the street. When Odell stopped that, the kids stopped doing that. Now, I guess there's no barbers. Y'all going to have to be the ones to break out the peroxide to satiate your children that you're far too indulgent of as things stand presently, right? Come on, Odell. Like, these parents are trying the hardest that they can. Now they got to walk around explaining why they let this happen.
All right. Wait, is there a tint to those glasses? Is that what I'm
tint?
Looking at here? Is there a rose tint?
There's stars. Dude, now that I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
That's it for us. Back tomorrow.
I'm going off.